Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge. Hi, everyone. This is the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge, your host. And we have the special honor today of having Farzin Mazanani with us. He is going to tell us all about the Joyful Fix, and I can't wait to have this conversation. Welcome, Farzin.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Thank you. I know that you know a little bit about the podcast and about what the message is, and I'm so excited to talk to you today because you have a unique perspective on healing, and I can't wait to dig into it so that the audience can hear that is. Tell us a little bit about you and your journey and how you got here, and then we'll dig right into your book and all the wonderful things that you want to teach us.
Sure. So I'm going to start from the time that I was 12 years old. It was long ago. And so what happened was, at the time, I felt that there is something missing in my life. Why? Because on the outside, everything was fine. I had a good family, friends, and school, and everything was fine. But on the inside, I was missing something. I didn't have that joy element. So that led me to a search, a quest for finding the truth about the true joy. And so I was on that journey for 12 years, going through path to path, book to book, because at the time we didn't have internet, we didn't have those kind of things that we can research now and stuff. So I had access to books. So I started collecting the books that would promise some solution to me. Different paths, different books. After 12 years, I had more than 1,000 books in my personal library. And I was even more confused. Why? Because you don't know what you don't know. When you start knowing about things, things get out of hand. So I couldn't find the answer. And I was so desperate to find, to have that connection that be able to, enables me to find the things that I was looking for, the meaning of life. I had big questions. As a 12-year-old person, I had big questions, but nobody could give me the answer. So at age 24, it was about 30 years ago. So you can guess my age now. So it was about 30 years ago at age 24. What happened was that I was so desperate, I decided to make a radical decision. So I went to a room and I told myself, I'm going to stay in this room until I find the answer. And I said that I have to isolate myself from outside stimuli. So I turned the light off. There was no window inside. So there was no sound and there was no lights. So it was a type of self-isolation. So I said that I'm going to stay here and face myself. And whatever comes out of this is important to me, because if I don't get the answer, I'm not going to get out of this room. I was so serious. So what happened was, I ended up staying in that darkness for 5 days. I came out after 5 days, and I didn't know it's 5 days, because after a while, you don't see any light. You don't know if it's day or night or something like that. So what brought me out of that room is interesting. It was an experience that I had. It started from my heart, actually. I felt that my heart is melting. So I was doing all sorts of techniques and things that I learned from other masters and stuff. None of them was working. So I gave up during the period of time that I was there. I gave up. I was sitting there. All of a sudden, I felt that my heart is melting. and it's getting hotter and hotter. I started sweating badly and shaking, and all of a sudden there was lights and there was the beautiful music that was playing from inside me. It wasn't outside, because outside was absolute darkness and absolute silence. So what happened was I felt that I'm connected with everything and everyone. So the example is like this. We are like an ice cube, and somebody drops us into an ocean, and gradually that ice cube melts and connects with the ocean. It is part of the ocean. That was the feeling that I had after that heart melting experience that I had. I felt that all my cells are burning and I was becoming something else. So that experience gave me two insights. One was the source of true joy is not outside, it is inside. So I realized that there is a difference between joy and happiness, because for happiness, we are looking for outside circumstances. And we need somebody or some situation to give us that happy moment. But for the joy, it's different. It's coming all from inside, from your heart. So that was my first realization. The second realization was that the source of all wisdom is also within your heart. Why? Because I was looking for the wisdom in the books on the outside world. I couldn't find them. But when I was in that room during that experience, I got all the answers that I needed. And I found out that there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge as well. So in the knowledge, you are looking for those puzzle pieces to put them together to see the picture. But for the wisdom, somebody just shows you the picture. You know it. It is an inspiration that you get. It's an intuition that you get. You know what you know. And the thing is that after those two realizations, I started the new life, actually. And so years passed, and I was on the ups and downs of life. I decided to immigrate to a new country. And when you immigrate, it's a new experience. The language you have to learn, the culture, you lose all your friends, all your background, and all the education that you had so far, you have to start from scratch. So it is not an easy process, but I was willing to go through that process for my personal reasons. So I did that. And that during that time, it was during a time that it was hard to find a job. So I finally found a job somewhere to provide for my family. And then what happened was I injured my back. And during the whatever, I was lifting something, I injured my back. And when I injured my back, I went through therapy. I lost my job. I went to therapy for a while, for a couple of months. And they treated me for just being better and stuff. And then what happened was I was better. But the thing is that I carried a chronic pain for 15 years. What was the chronic pain? Frozen back. So I couldn't move my neck to the side. I couldn't move my head to the side. Almost every week. So I had to go to therapy. I had to go to physiotherapy or acupuncture or something like that to get me that relief so I could move around like a normal person and do the things that a normal person does. So I carried that for 15 years. And I was so desperate again. Why? Because specialists couldn't help me. They would send me to MRI test. Nothing was showing up on the MRI. They couldn't point a finger to a specific muscle or something like that. So they couldn't help me. And the medication wouldn't help me much too. It was I would take medication a little bit better, but I was getting those again and again every week. So what happened was that a friend of mine just came over and we were talking, and she said that I might be able to help the situation that you're in. And I said, I don't think so. That I said to myself, I said that I don't think she can help me because she is not a specialist. She doesn't know much about those things. How can she help me? She said that I'm going to give you a couple of phone calls and see what happens. So she gave me a couple of phone calls and she released the trapped emotions that I was carrying with myself. So what is trapped emotion? Trapped emotion is an unprocessed emotion. We all have those kind of things, those kind of moments. You're driving back home from work and you are tired and somebody cut you off in the traffic and you get mad and you start yelling and swearing. And then what happens, you go home and start talking to other people at home about the crazy drivers on the road and those kind of things. We all have those moments. And what happens is that we cannot process that emotion completely because we are mentalizing it. We have something that differentiates us from other species, which is called prefrontal cortex. So we analyze everything. So when we analyze something, we get it stuck in our system. So the energy of anger, for example, in that case, gets stuck somewhere in our body, let's say in the liver. And then it creates imbalance in the liver. And also we are more vulnerable to that kind of vibration because we are carrying it. So another situation arises and then we snap very fast because we have that kind of energy that we are carrying with ourselves. So she released a bunch of trapped emotions that I was carrying at the time of that accident. And she said that you should be fine. So I was suspicious. I said that to myself, I'm going to get that pain back next week. It never came back. It was done. So what happened was I called that invisible conditions that we have. So she explained that everybody is carrying more than 200 of those trapped emotions based on the situations that we are in. So we accumulate. It's like a snowball effect. So as we age, we grab more and more of those. So we get heavier and heavier. That's why. So she said that you have the talent to do the same thing for others. So that changed my path again. And so I went through the certifications and became an emotion code practitioner and started helping others. But she did something else to me too. So what she did was she dismantled my heart wall. And that was a new concept to me. I didn't know anything about heart wall. So she explained that sometimes we are in a situation. And that situation might be loss of a loved one that leads to grief. That is the main topic in your show. So it's important to pay attention to this thing. And sometimes it is like a breakup in relationships. Those kind of things. It affects our heart. And our heart is very sensitive. There is an expression called broken heart syndrome. Do you know about that? It's the broken heart syndrome is something that sometimes we feel pain in our chest and the symptoms are like heart attack. We go to hospital, we say that our heart is in pain. So they examine our heart and they say that it is not your heart. It is your heart, but it's not a heart attack. It's broken heart syndrome. And so they treat it with some medication and stuff. So what is broken heart syndrome? A scientist, the Japanese scientist, discovered that there are lines on our hearts. Like when we have a broken bone, we go to the doctor, they examine under the x-ray, they say that this line shows on your bone that your bone is cracked or something like that. The same lines we get on our heart based on our experiences. So our heart gets broken it is literal. So we have those lines on our heart. It's called broken heart syndrome. So our heart is very sensitive. And when we are in a situation that leads to grief or breakup or something like that, or we are under pressure in our relationship, it happens to most of us. So we have those situations. In that situation, our subconscious mind says that I'm going to protect this heart. So it automatically creates a chamber around our heart. That chamber is called heart wall. So the material that our subconscious mind uses is those bricks that we have inside our body, which is called trapped emotions. So with trapped emotions, we create a chamber around our heart. So we are living in that chamber to protect our heart, and the situation passes and we are still in that chamber. So what it means is that imagine that the country is under attack, we go to shelter and we are isolated from outside, and then we are living in that shelter to protect ourselves. And now 10 years passed from the war and we are still living in that shelter. So the feeling is the same. And more than 93%, based on Dr. Bradley Nelson's research, have heart wall. 93%, more than 93%. So most of us have a heart wall that isolates us from each other. And so that is something new. The concept was new. But when she removed my heart wall, I felt to be a new person. My relationship changed, my situation changed. It affected my health, wealth, relationship, and happiness, all four of those at once. So I was very happy with that thing that happened to me. You know, sometimes you feel that you have that kind of accident that affects you for a long time and stuff. But when I look at it now, I feel that that was the best thing that happened to me at the time, because it led me to go through the path to find those kind of things, to be able to help others, to remove those kind of blockages that they have, the invisible conditions that they have that's affecting their life. Because there are a lot of those that is affecting all aspects of our life, from health, physical, emotional, mental, everything. It affects everything. So that was my journey. And I started helping others through those kind of, to go through those kind of relief from those blockages as well. So my message is there is light at the end of the tunnel. If you feel you have that kind of grief or problems that we usually carry with ourselves for a long time, you don't need to carry them. We can just release them. Those are the stain on our clothes. It can be washed. Because we are not that stain. You know, sometimes I say that I'm angry. It is not a true statement. Why? Because I am associating myself with my anger, but I'm not my anger. I should say I'm carrying the energy of anger, but I shouldn't say I'm angry, because I'm associating myself with that emotion when I say that. So I'm not my emotions. Why? Because if my emotions change, I should be a different person if I'm my emotions, but I'm not my emotions. I'm not my physical body. Why? Because if I cut my hand and put it in front of me, I should be a different person. But I'm still the same person watching that hand that is on the table. So I'm not my physical body. I'm not my thoughts. Why? Because if I sit here and don't think about anything, I shouldn't exist if I'm just my thoughts. But I still exist. There's something else watching all those layers. That is consciousness. Some people call it consciousness. Some people call it soul. It doesn't matter what you call it, but it is an eternal element that we are, that kind of consciousness. It is. So when we realize that, we notice that all the problems that we have is either physical or emotional or mental. And those are just the layers. And they can be cleaned. They can be washed. We have the ability to wash them. So
I think that what is so cool about all of that is that the unblocked emotions seem to be the thing that is at the root. And you talked about how we have those moments multiple times in our lives, hundreds of times. I usually call them micro traumas, things that happen to us that we take in and either make them part of us somehow, or we absorb them almost like a sponge. And then we keep them, like you said, we keep them locked in, we keep them as bricks inside of us. And then those block other things. They block the flow of joy. They block they block our physical body. They block our emotions. They block our thoughts. And that is so powerful when you think about someone that is stuck in a grief mindset, that is stuck in a thought process around a trauma that happened to them or that they created. You can't live there. You can't stay there forever, or it will keep you from living. You'll be here on Earth, but you won't be alive. You'll be just going through the motions. You'll be very much stagnant. And I love that your modality is centered around joy, not happiness, which we tend to associate with utter bliss, but the joy is what comes from our soul, from our, as you just described, our inner light. And that to me is what is so powerful about this discussion. And that I never really associated the fact that I could be grieving and still have joy. Those two things did not seem like they could be in me at the same time. But yet I am at a place where my grief is very different than it was when I lost my son 16 years ago. And that is very different for me. That doesn't mean that the grief goes away. It just doesn't stop me from doing my life. It doesn't stop me from experiencing joy in other ways. And I can still miss my son and experience joy. And that's where I wanted to take a little jump from where we have what you have been talking about and ask you this question. How can someone that believes that they have to live in grief to remember the person that they lost, or to remember that they don't want to make the same mistake again, how can that person reach a joy? How can that person reach a state of joy? They don't want to forget, but they also need to release that emotion. So talk us through what you would say to someone that doesn't want to forget.
Okay, so yeah, that's a very good question. And things that we can just open up to see what happens through our discussion. So the first thing that I want to mention is that we probably are the unique species. Why? Because we punish ourselves million times for some mistake that we made probably in the past, not just once. So everybody is deserved to be punished for whatever wrongdoing that they do just once, not million times, but we do it million times to ourselves. Why? Because we carry that energy of guilt and shame and those kind of things. And we think about the situation that we were in the mistakes that we made, and we blame ourselves, and we go through the whole process again and again and again on a daily basis. So we are punishing ourselves every time that we are doing it. And we are the only species who is doing this. And it doesn't make sense. Why are we doing that to ourselves? So that is the first realization. The second is, which is very important, is that there is always a bright side to everything. Always. Because the bright side is connected to the dark side. I feel that the life is throwing those balls to us, and those balls are painted. One side is black and one side is white. And we usually get the black side, see the black side that is getting thrown to us. But when we expand our consciousness, we can see the other side, which is white, and they are connected together. So the smaller ball that is thrown to us, the smaller the white side is going to be. The larger ball on the dark side has the larger bright side. So those kind of experiences that we have in life, if we start to look at those as blessings that are wrapped in ugly papers, what happens is that when you receive a gift from a friend, you know that even if it's wrapped in an ugly paper, there is something valuable inside. So those are the things. And so it's the matter of shifting our perspective. When we shift our perspective, we look at life as a friendly person, not a hostile universe. What happens is that, you know, whatever you are receiving in life is helping you to expand, to grow. It is part of living, part of life. So what happens is that we might have those kind of moments. For example, in your case, you can focus on all those beautiful moments that you had with your son. Why? Because we usually look at our grief and it blocks our view towards whatever we have. Nobody can cut off the cord of love between the two souls. Nobody. It is, you are not losing your son. Your son bond is bond with you through the love cord all the time. And we are eternal. We are not going to dismantle and disappear or something like that. The connection is always there. The love bond that you created in this lifetime with your son, it is always there. You know, when we die, what happens is that we lose everything. We lose everything. All the material things that we had, all the fame and all the things that we have. But the only thing that stays forever is the love bond. So that is what we should be focusing on. And when we focus on something, it gets expanded. It doesn't matter what it is. Our focus is like a magnifying glass. So when you focus on something, it expands. So if you want to expand that love, just put your attention on it and it expands. And then it is an experience that I know a lot of people have had, to connect to the true dream or something like that with their loved ones. It is possible. It's possible. When you have that kind of love bond, when you are not blocking yourself with that grief curtain, you have direct connection with yourself. And it is something that I've seen a lot in people. They have that chance to expand that love. So we have to be careful what we are focusing on. If we focus on our mistakes or the things that we wanted to do but we didn't, the things that just was there to teach us a lesson, so we focus on those kind of things, they expand, and we carry that energy. Grief, blame, shame, and we just blame ourselves, and guilt comes a lot. So those are low frequencies that we are carrying. They measure the frequencies, and they say that love is about 500 from the scale of 0 to 1,000. So it's right in the middle. So there are a bunch of emotions that are much lower than that, like anger, around 120 or something like that. Let's say 120. But the grief and shame and guilt are at the bottom of that scale. So we can choose what do you want to focus on? So what is higher, even higher than love? It's gratitude. Gratitude is about 600 something. It's higher than love. So what you can focus on is balance out that energy that is very low that we are carrying with something that has the very high energy, like gratitude. The gratitude that you have for the opportunity to be with that soul in this lifetime. And then you expand that kind of feeling that you have. And as it expands, the love bond expands, and then you're able to connect again. So it's an amazing process. I've seen it with a lot of people, but we have to use that tool, which is gratitude. Actually, I was thinking about the stress and anxiety that people are carrying nowadays. And so it affects their life. Anxiety attack and those kind of things. You're all under stress all the time. So there's something called fight or flight mode. And sometimes it leads to freeze mode, which is a stagnation, which is the subject of my book. But that fight or flight mode is triggered all the time. It starts from amygdala, something in our brain, and it passes the information about a threat. It might be an imaginary threat. Nowadays, we have a lot of those imaginary threats. We just turn on the TV and then we see a lot of things and we are scared and stuff. So it triggers that kind of fight or flight mode, and it goes down and releases some stress hormones. Like there are some stress hormones like cortisol that we have in our body. So it affects our health, because when we are in that moment of fight or flight, what happens is that all the systems in our body are shut down. We cannot operate normally. And immune system is shut down. And then digestion and other problems that we have. But the thing is, even in basic things, like going to the washroom. So that's why when we are scared, we sometimes wet our pants. That's why, because that is triggered, the fight or flight is triggered, and it's shutting down all the systems that we have in our body. The basic systems that we have in our body. And because we have that prefrontal cortex, we stay in that fight or flight for a few hours. But other species, like a deer in a jungle, sees a threat, starts to escape. All the energy is in the feet and in the hand. So it starts to escape. And then the threat is gone, and after 10 or 15 minutes, that animal is like a normal, going back to the normal situation. But for us, when it is triggered, we stayed in there for a couple of hours. So during that couple of hours, we're vulnerable. So I was thinking about all those, why we are so under those kind of things all the time, and people are stressed nowadays. So I decided to write an ebook, the short ebook. I just finished writing it for people. It's called Stress Free in Seconds. So to help them out to be able to cope with those kind of situations. And so what is the solution for all those? It's explained in the book, but in one word, it is gratitude. But how you can practically implement that in your life, it is the subject of the book. And it's a free book. People can download and use the content and stuff. So for whoever who's listening, it's a gift they can give you that ebook. When you go to my website, my website is joyfulfix.com. If you go joyfulfix.com/stressfree, you can download that ebook. And there are some information in there. But the thing is that there is help available. And we don't need to get stuck in a situation like that. We just need to expand our blinders. Blinders are, let's say we are in a horse race. And there's a horse. You know, those horses, they put the blinders. Why? Because the horse should focus only on the track. Whatever that they are, they couldn't get distracted because they lose a second or something like that. It's gone. The time is gone. So they put those blinders. And we all have those kind of blinders all over the place. So all those emotions that we carry, they are filters. We see people through those emotions. All those limiting beliefs that we have, those are the layers of those blinders. So as we release those, we can expand our view. So you can focus on the positive side of things and let them grow. You know, we all have ups and downs in life. But as long as we are focusing on the positive side of things, we can proceed. The same thing is like some people are in car racing, let's say. And car racing, when you are racing, when you are on the track, they say that for the Formula One or something like that, they go very fast. And when they train them, they tell them, when you are driving, don't look at the side of the track. Focus on the center of the track. Because as soon as you look at the side of the track, you get attracted to the side and you will die with that speed that you're going. So that is essential to focus on the center of the track, not on the side. So what is the difference between the center and the side? The side is the dark side of the things that we get. The center is the bright side. When we focus on the bright side, that is the light that is guiding us to proceed. So it's a choice. It's a choice. We all have that choice. Now that you know this kind of things, you can choose. If I ask you, which one do you choose? Do you want to focus on your grief, on the things that you lost, the experiences that you lost, or you want to focus on the beautiful moments that soul has brought to your life in that short period of time? But that is a blessing too. So we sometimes choose before we come to this life to go through some type of experiences, and we choose other people to play some roles for us. So it is all based on the expansion. As soul, we are expanding all the time. So focus on the bright side and see the miracle in your life.
It makes me think of a quote that I've heard a long time ago. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Mm-hmm. And that is so near and dear to my heart all the time. I actually bought a plaque with that on it after we lost our son. And that brings me to what you've been saying, that it is about, if you focus on the love, if you focus on the gratitude, then you will automatically be able to make different decisions. You're not forgetting. You will automatically be in a mode of movement and action instead of constant punishment, that constant responsibility that you feel for whatever it was that happened. So I really resonate with that. That really will be something that I can take away, and hopefully that the audience can take away, to be able to undo some of the behaviors and some of the thought processes that we have around grief. We tend to think that we have to wallow in it or bathe in it every day in order to keep from forgetting. And I love that connection to the love, that if I just remember that I'm always connected to him, that is going to make the biggest difference. I think that is a huge perspective shift. And I really love that. Mm-hmm. So you've already talked to us a little bit about your website, which is fantastic. That's normally what I would start to transition into at this point in the discussion. But you've talked to us a little bit about that, about the wonderful ebook that you've made available to the audience and to anybody that comes to your website. What do you want us to take away, and how can we work with you further? If somebody wanted to reach out and wanted to work with you and to find out how they could be helped by you, is the website the best place for them to go? Where would you recommend that they reach out to you?
Now, the website is a good place. If they go to the contact page of my website, there is a free quiz. So that quiz covers those four aspects of health, wealth, relationship, and happiness, because those are the symptoms. Those are not the root cause. The root cause is usually hidden. Why? Because when we have a symptom, let's say I have a headache, I go and take a painkiller to block that headache that I have. So it's a band-aid solution. Maybe that headache is telling me something. Maybe it's like in our houses, we usually have those kind of smoke detectors. Sometimes the smoke detectors come on, and we don't like the sound, so we take the battery out. So that is the band-aid solution. So maybe there's something wrong, that this pain is telling me that I have to fix something inside. So that is what I do. I go use that symptom and go deep into the subconscious mind, which is a database that all the information is there, and then find the root cause. Sometimes it's emotional, trapped emotions. Sometimes it's mental. It's a limiting belief or something like that. So sometimes it's an imbalance in one of our organs. It can be something that is triggering that kind of pain, you know? So that is my approach. I go deep into the subconscious mind and grab that information and then clean them from there. And people get side benefits instead of side effects. When we take a medication, there are a lot of side effects. But when we go through that approach of root cause, removing the root cause, fixing the root cause, what happens is that might be the cause for many other things as well. So we get side benefits instead of side effects.
I think that there is so much that anybody can gain from working with you, that I'm so thankful that we had this time today to discuss your methods. And I think that for all the silent sufferers out there, please reach out to Farzin. He has such a great way of getting to the root of what's going on, and you don't have to keep struggling. You don't have to stay stuck. Even if you don't know why you're stuck, he can help. And I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for being willing to talk to our audience. And I just want to say how grateful I am.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to the show, because that is, I feel that this is my responsibility to spread this message, because it is not widely available, you know. So I feel that obligation to spread this message so people know that there is always light at the end of the tunnel.
I love that. Thank you.